Well, Friday before last, Nancy and I went snowshoeing near the entrance to Yellowstone. It was an awesome day. We got to see this, some of the wonderful nature that we have around. And when I posted that online, somebody asked if that was a prophetic sign about the game later today. I don't know. I'm not making any predictions. We'll just, you just take that however you want that. So, all right. Well, enough of that. But at some point, Jimmy Fallon, the Tonight Show host, asked for responses to hashtag my weird secret. You can imagine what kind of trouble that's asking for. Let me share just a few of the responses that he got. What's the first one we have there? Oh, yeah. A guy named Jonah says, I used to stretch my T-shirts out before going to the gym so that my personal trainer would think I lost weight. I'd have never thought of that, you know? That might be an idea worth trying. What's the other secret? Brandy says, I eat Fruit Loops in red, orange, yellow order and get angry when I miss one. Maybe that's just proof that you are what you eat. What's the next one there? Oh, yes, when my fish died, I'd flush them down the toilet, but when I was younger, I avoid that toilet in case the fish jumped out. Now, that sounds perfectly reasonable to me. I don't know about you. Oh, yes, I have my earphones on with no music so I can listen to other people's conversations. You know, I knew there was a reason I didn't trust people that wore earphones. What else we got? Oh, yes, when in the car, I pretend I'm in a music video to whatever song is on. Doesn't everybody do that? Maybe not. Anyway, oh, yes, I hide my chocolate in vegetable bags inside my freezer so my husband and children won't find them. Check the freezer, guy. How many of you guys are going to go home and check the freezer as soon as you get home? Yeah, I thought so. Okay. And then, finally, when I was little, I used to lick our cat because I thought she missed her cat family. So, if your child ever coughs up a fur ball, you know what happened, okay? So, very enlightening, all these weird secrets that people have. But people do have interesting secrets, and some of them are weird. Some of them are painful. Some of them are noble, as people do really great things, but just don't tell anybody. As fascinating as our secrets might be, though, I'm here to tell you that the kingdom of God has secrets that are even better, way better. God has secrets. I'm not talking about conspiracy theories or Da Vinci Code kind of stuff, but God has deep, deep things that he doesn't share with just anyone. God is a person, remember, and we're made in his image. And so you'll find that, like any of us, there are things that are close to his heart. And if he trusts a person, he just might share it with you. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those people that God can trust with his secrets, don't you? We've been talking about the kingdom of God, right? Kingdom power and the conflict and advancing the kingdom and all of that. But maybe you've been asking, well, okay, but how? How do I bring Christ's reign into my life, into my family, into my workplace? And specifically, you know, what do I do to, you know, in this particular situation or that situation to bring God's reign, Christ's rule where I am? And specifically, you know, what are some strategies? The short answer is, I don't know, but I know somebody who does know, right? How many of you are aware God knows stuff that we don't know? And sometimes he likes to tell us those things that he knows that we don't know. And so, you know, I've wished as much as anyone for God to write things in the sky for me at times, but I've come to understand that he seems to prefer whispers to let us in on his secret wisdom. So today's text is in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. And Jesus talks about secrets of the kingdom. Let's see what he says here. The disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can hardly hear. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and didn't see it, and to hear what you hear but didn't hear it. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? God, today we come in our brokenness, in knowing how we have failed you this past week, and we just confess our sin, our need for your grace, and how far short of your glory we have fallen. But Lord, we just welcome you to speak to our hearts today and through your word, and just let us in on something more of your kingdom secrets, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in the context here, Jesus is telling the parable of the different kinds of soil, right? And that represents different ways that people receive the good news of the kingdom. But in between telling the parable and explaining the parable, we find this discussion in the text about the secrets of the kingdom. In Jesus' words here, I see four important principles that apply to us today if we want to be in on those secrets. So, point number one is this. That it's all a gift. It is all a gift. That's kind of a fundamental thing, but so critical for us to remember. Everything we have in the spiritual realm is a gift. Look again at verse 11 from the text. He answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." Folks, whatever level of spiritual insight or discernment we have, it's because God, in his mercy, has opened our eyes and our ears and our hearts to that truth. Whatever degree of understanding of kingdom realities we might have, it is only a gift of God's grace, every bit as much as salvation is a gift by grace. You know, just a few chapters earlier, later, as Jesus is talking about marriage and singleness and some things that might be hard to receive and accept, we find Jesus saying this in Matthew 19:11. "Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given." Now think about the significance of that. The factor that makes the difference in understanding spiritual truth or not, it's not intelligence, it's not a matter of personality or even diligent study, but it's a question of, did God give you understanding or not? You know, the danger that we can have, especially the further we go on in the Christian life, the more teaching we've absorbed, the more knowledge we've attained, is to believe that we have spiritual understanding because maybe we're just a little bit smarter than those other people, right? That is so wrong. It is so wrong. But it's a subtle temptation. You know, it makes me wince when I hear Christians talk about those who don't know Jesus, who don't have the same spiritual understanding that we do. They maybe land on some moral issues in ways that we find, you know, just appalling. But sometimes we Christians get that attitude of, you know, what a bunch of dummies. I just, why can't they see what is so obvious to me? And it makes me wince, in part because I know I've gotten that attitude at times, I regret to say. And I wince because when we're like that, we become a little bit like the Pharisees, embracing one of the most toxic things that Jesus just could not stand, spiritual pride. He was repulsed by it. And when we get like that, we confirm that we are not the kind of people that God can trust with the deeper secrets of the kingdom. And I'm saddened by that because no one's drawn to our Savior by that kind of spiritual pride. Again, you know, Jesus was repulsed by it, and so is anybody that we would hope to witness to, right? Condescension just turns people away. It is not a great witnessing tool. But in contrast, I want to go again to reference my good friend John the Nebraska Baptist, if you remember what I said last week. And In John chapter 3, Jesus and his disciples were cranking up their ministry. It says they were baptizing people. And John's followers come to John concerned about this new guy who was kind of gaining a lot of attention. And they were watching the crowds that used to come to John and his disciples. Now they're going to Jesus and his disciples. And it seems like they were feeling like their business is getting stolen a little bit. Here's what it says. They came to John and said, and Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan to whom you bore witness, look, he's baptizing and all are going to him. I'll let you in on a little secret. Even people in ministry can get competitive and petty. I used to get that way before I won 5 sheep stealing trophies in a row. I'm just kidding, people, okay? I'm just kidding, just kidding. But John's response is phenomenal. I mean, this could have really riled him up, raised his ego to get bruised or whatever, but John says, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. Isn't that amazing, amazing response to that? I mean, and he goes on to speak about being the friend who attends the bridegroom until the bride comes. And those amazing words, ultimately at the end of that chapter, you know, he must increase, I must decrease, right? He must become greater, I must become less. Wow. I mean, this principle that John understood so thoroughly is what I believe kept him grounded, gave him peace through the ups and downs of life. This simple principle, we can only receive what God has given us about the kingdom. John was given a ministry for a time and a season, and when that season was over, he was at peace with all of the attention going to Jesus. And brothers and sisters, everything that we have in the spiritual realm is a gift. And if we want to know the secrets of the kingdom, our Abba, our Father, Daddy, is pleased to give them to us if he can trust us with them. There is a part that we play in this, and that leads to point number 2. The question of who gets more? Who gets more of these secrets than somebody else? What do I mean by that? Well, look at verse 12 in the text. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So in regard to the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom, if you've been given much, you'll get more. If you're lacking, the little you have will disappear. Now, I know that on the face of that, that seems like really unfair, right? And that's not normally how we think about things. If somebody's without, well, we want to help them out and give them more. And if somebody's got plenty, well, then why would we give them more? They've got plenty. But things always work a little differently in God's kingdom. What I hear Jesus saying is this. It's a stewardship issue. If you receive spiritual truth and you process it and it bears fruit in your heart and in your life, then that means God can trust you with more. But if you can't even receive little things, like Romans 1 talks about natural revelation, right? That anybody can go outside, and especially in Cody, see the glories of nature and say, wow, God is awesome. But if it doesn't do that in you, then you probably won't get more spiritual revelation. The trajectory goes the other way. We become more and more blind and more deaf to what God wants to say to us. Our perception of the secrets of the kingdom kind of is a little bit like the whole issue of love, right? A person, you know, everybody's got the same opportunity to show love to others. But the person who just pours out love from their hearts whenever they get a chance, well, does that person have less love because they've done that? No, it just creates more. And the person who's stingy and doesn't show love at all, does that person have more because they kept it? No, they become a very loveless person. That's how it works with stewardship of who gets more of the secrets of the kingdom. You know, I've got a good friend who confessed to me years ago. He said, when I sense the Holy Spirit speaking to me and just whispering in my ear some word of conviction or something that I should do, and he said, when I ignore that, that voice gets quieter and a little bit quieter. And he said, that scares me. And we said, yeah, it should, because that's not a place any of us should be, people. Just like the parable Jesus told about the talents, right? The investment that a king made in his servants. The one who didn't do anything with his, well, that was taken away from him. But the others, they took what the king gave them and they invested it and multiplied it and said, you know, and the king came back and said, you know what? That means I can trust you with more. I'll give you more. That's how it works. I'm not talking about, oh, if I volunteer for this at church, I'll get more to do. That does happen sometimes, but I mean something much deeper, all right? God has an ocean of wonder to share with us, but too many of us just play in the shallow water, never venture into the deep, or we feel like, well, we've gone this deep. Is there any deeper to go? Yes, there is. Launch out into the deep, folks. Like I mentioned, John Stumbo, the president of the CMA, saying, there is more, and we want it. I love that heart. That is the heart, the expression of somebody that is eager to know more of those secrets of the kingdom, that God can say, I'm going to bless that. I'm going to show them more. Later on in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus tells a story of a landowner who planted a vineyard. He rented it out to tenants. Those tenants were not good stewards of what they were given. And so the owner took the vineyard back from them, and he gave it to others who would steward it well and share their harvest with the owner. And in the context, it's clear Jesus is telling the story to the religious leaders and explaining why tax collectors and prostitutes are getting into the kingdom before they are. And he concludes the story with this. He says, therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruit. You see, brothers and sisters, if you want to go deeper into the deep things of God, steward well what he's already given you, right? If there's something that you know he wants you to do, if there's something you know is good and right and you're not doing it, well, do you think he's going to trust you with more until you get that part right? Don't expect God to give you more until you do that. He wants to show you more. God wants to reveal more to us, but we have to be faithful with what he's already given us. That's how it works. Number three, just to go to the next step, the dynamics of spiritual perception. Interesting things Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah about the dynamics of spiritual perception. Verses 13 to 15, he speaks about hearing but not hearing, seeing but not seeing, and understanding and perceiving. Why would God not want somebody to hear? Why would God not want somebody to understand spiritual truth? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever let somebody into your life? You've shared something deep from your heart with them. You entrusted something from your soul to them, and they heard it and they saw it, and then they turned around and used it against you and just thrashed you with it, right? Doesn't that make you feel wonderful about the human race when that happens, right? Oh, that hurts, right? That hurts when people do that. It's terrible. But it wounds us. But you know what? If you and I don't like that happening to us, do you think God likes that when people do that to him? When he shares deep truth and people misuse it? The Pharisees, the teachers of the law that we see in the Gospels, the law of God is good and it is perfect. It is of greater worth than gold, it says. The Pharisees, teachers of the law, they studied it. They understood it at some level, but at a very fleshly, merely human level, not a deep kingdom level. And so they used the law not to draw people closer to God and to his heart, but instead they used it to put burdens on people's backs that they couldn't bear. They used it to lift themselves up and to shame other people and ultimately destroy others. How do you think God felt about that? He gave them spiritual truth for them to use for good, and they used it for evil, all in the name of God. You think that happens today? I'm afraid it does. People can talk a good talk, know the word, know lots of spiritual stuff, and use it all to work against God's kingdom. And I won't bother to illustrate because we can probably all think of things that we've seen or done. And so I can hear God saying, you know what, sometimes it's better to just keep that veil over people's faces and keep them blind from these things, and they can't cause damage then. But if they really want to know, if they really want to know my secrets for the kingdom, well, then I'll show them. Years ago, the church camp that we served at in the Western PA district, I always say they used us pastors as slave labor to just kind of run things for family camp. And Nancy and I, we worked in the Welcome Center. And A.W. Tozer was born and raised just a few miles from that camp. And if A.W. Tozer, that name doesn't ring a bell, he was just a really well-known Alliance pastor and author. He was so well known of just having such a deep perspective of the deep things of God. People referred to him as a 20th century prophet. Well, so they were having a historic marker erected to say, yeah, this is where he was born, and they had a ceremony, invited a bunch of people to it. And so that day, a guy comes up to the Welcome Center where Nancy and I were working, and he's standing like just a few feet away from me. And I took one look at him, and I said, you're related to Tozer, aren't you? I mean, he just looked like him. He had a little more hair. He still had those little beady eyes. You know, he looked just like Tozer. And so he said, yeah. He said, A.W. was my great uncle. I don't know. He said, I don't really know what all this stuff is about. I just got this invitation to this thing. I tried to read one of his books. I couldn't make any sense of it. It just didn't mean anything to me. It's just weird. And so I could tell, oh my goodness, this great nephew of Tozer's wasn't a believer. He was completely clueless spiritually. And I thought, how sad. But it was a reminder of that old saying that God has no grandkids, right? You've heard that? Where it doesn't matter what your parents' relationship with the Lord is or anybody else around you, it's got to be you and God. God has no grandkids, and this was an example of that. But also, it occurred to me that as sad as this was, at least he wasn't doing damage to the kingdom. I thought, you know, if he did grasp something of his great uncle's theology and his books, and he arrogantly used it to puff himself up and to shame others, that would be worse, right? So let me just share at length a scripture that just says so much from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in regard to this whole thing of God's secret wisdom about the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 16 says this, yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in them? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Ah, there's so much there that we just don't have time to fully get into. But one final point, number four, this thing about true blessing. The secrets of the kingdom that God shares with us, they will be more likely ours if we view them, if we really believe what Jesus says in verses 16 and 17 of the text. When he says this, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and didn't see it, and to hear what you hear, but didn't hear it. Folks, whatever we do grasp of the deeper truths of God's kingdom, our response should not be spiritual pride and arrogance, but humble gratitude, because we have been given something so, so precious. We have been blessed with something that not everyone has. Think of it. Jesus says these words before the cross even, right? And we who live on this side of the cross have that much more revealed to us of the mystery of the ages, revealed through the cross about a God who loves us so much that he would send his son to die for us. In the Old Testament, the giants of the faith, they didn't understand so much of what we have been given. That's why we're blessed so much. A great verse just later in the same chapter, Matthew 13:52, Jesus said, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." Isn't that fascinating? I mean, I think what he's saying is this: if you really grasp the kingdom, you have the old treasures, right? That goes way back to the Old Testament saints, these fundamental things about the Lord and who he is and all that. But then also there are new treasures, fresh things that the Spirit of God opens our minds to, fresh things that the Spirit whispers to our hearts, illuminating the Word of God. So new treasures and old treasures coming out of one storeroom, our hearts, our souls. We are so, so blessed, people. Are you thankful for that? I mean, we have been given treasure worth more than gold and silver, and yet there's more. There is more. Do you want it? Why wouldn't we? I mean, God's kingdom secrets are true blessing. Do you remember when Moses was up on Mount Sinai? I mean, it really takes an imagination to even try to fathom what he experienced up there, right? I mean, speaking with God and God writing the Ten Commandments with his own finger on tablets of stone and giving them to Moses. I mean, it's hard to fathom. But Moses was so audacious to after all of that, to say, to make this bold request: "Please, show me your glory. Show me your glory." In other words, I hear him saying, "God, I thank you for your truth, for these commands. They're wonderful. God, all your promises. But God, I want a glimpse of your glory. I want it all. I don't want you to hold anything back. I want to go deeper. I want to know the secrets of your kingdom." And God did not rebuke him for that at all. Instead, he rewarded that. Folks, let the Spirit of God today stir up in all of us a hunger that we would share with Moses to say, "God, show me more. Show me real treasure." Today, I want to give a question that I hope kind of haunts you in days to come. And that question is this: what can God trust you with? What can he trust you with of his kingdom secrets? What secrets are there where God would be able to say, "Yeah, I can trust this person with that kind of treasure because I know they will steward it well and they will use it for my glory"? I'll never forget, early on in our marriage, Nancy and I were moving from one residence to another in the Minneapolis area. And to help us out, a guy from our church threw me the keys to his brand new truck. I mean, it was brand new, top of the line, everything. And, you know, at the time, I think I was driving a yellow Datsun B210. You remember those? It was yellow, and it had a green trunk lid. And if you'd open up the trunk, it was so rusted out, you could see your shoes right there. You go, "Oh, wow." And so that's the kind of thing I was used to driving. And he hands me these keys, this brand new truck. And I'm sure that my eyes got a little wider, and I was calculating how many years it would take me to pay it off if I wrecked it. But then, even if it was covered by insurance, I was thinking, "Oh, how bad would I feel? And should I offer my firstborn as collateral or something?" You know, folks, that was just being entrusted with a truck. I mean, how much more should we be affected? How much more should we be awed and grateful when the King of the universe looks at us and says, I'm entrusting you with secrets of the kingdom, of my reign and my rule, deep things that I don't give to just anybody. But if you're faithful and if you steward it well, I'll give you more beyond what you can ask or imagine. That is God's offer to us today, folks. I mean, you might feel like you're a pretty mature Christian, or you might feel like you're a complete newbie. It doesn't matter. Either way, God has so much more for all of us. I'm not talking about, you know, some new revelation that contradicts Scripture and confuses things. I mean God showing us his heart for people, showing us the depth of his word and what it means, making our hearts beat in rhythm with his, showing us what kind of love would send his son for the likes of us. If we're going to live the life that God calls us to live, we need to hear from him. We need his help. We need to know deeper things. And so a good prayer to pray would be, Lord, make me the kind of person that you can trust with your secrets. And then when I've become that person, then show me. Then show me. And why don't we pray that prayer now? Would you bow your heads with me? And let's pray. Oh God. I'm just in awe of this amazing invitation that you give us to be in on secrets of your kingdom, of the things that you want to do that are way beyond what we've ever imagined. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for times that we have used our faith, things that you've shown us, and to puff ourselves up, our knowledge, our pride. Forgive us, oh God. Lord, make us the kind of people that you can trust with those secrets, and then show us. Show us your glory. And may we be very, very careful to do everything we do, say everything we say, so that you will receive all of the honor, all of the praise, all of the glory, because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.